Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this whatsoever, but I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Now, friends, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I just want to get into today's episode because there's a lot to cover, kind of ish. I don't have a lot of time. I had to be up. Please, actually, this is totally kind of related but unrelated. I've been trying to leave my job that I'm currently at for quite some time, and I've been crying about it, like, literally every single day. So if you would do me the solid and just continue to keep streaming me, please. I literally have to get up, and here's why I need you to keep streaming me, as if you shouldn't have done that already and been doing that already. I had to be up at the crack of dawn, basically, because I have a meeting for this job on a Sunday. Okay, Sunday, the Lord's Day, at 9:30 in the morning, and I have plans after that, so do me this solid and literally just keep streaming me so I can leave this job. Do you know how cruel that is to be up at the crack of dawn? These people don't even know I have a job, and no, not a job, essentially plans that isn't capitalistic, if you will. And besides, I'm gonna look cute tomorrow, so I need to, like, you know, leave this job. If you care about me at all, you would not, if anything, you should care about humanity enough to know that to go to a work thing on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, is already too much. So I think if you care about me at all, you would help me out and do this all and just keep streaming me. Now, onto our intro that we usually say. Hi, if you're new here, you have a lot of work to do. You have literally so many episodes you need to listen to. You're bound to find something you like and relate to, and or both. Two, if you're returning, hi babe, welcome. I hope you're doing well. I hope you got that promotion, that job, that A on that test, all that jazz. But today's episode, you read the title, it's going to be a heavy one where we reflect and deflect. So without further ado, sit back with some coffee, your favorite tea, maybe a little blanket, your little nuzzled blanket. We all love an introverted moment. Now, with that being said, let's get into today's episode. And we're back, friends. Now, just to preface, I will be taking my melatonin at some point in this episode, so bear with me now. But wow, so much to say, yet so little. But that being said, friends, I'm just gonna dive right into it. I already told you the gist of this. No, I didn't actually, I'm lying. But regardless, I always start my episodes with an inspiration that I've taken into the week and taking it into a podcast episode. If you don't know that by now, I swear to God, you should know that by now. Oh my God, I say it literally every episode. I'm tired of having to explain it. But regardless, you already know the drill if you don't already. Now, friends, I was just vibing these days. You know, just this week has been pretty good. Not in my career aspect, but in pretty much everything else has been great. Like I said, please stream me. I want to leave this fucking job. Like, you don't even know, honestly. Every single day, I count the days. I'm like, when? And I've applied everywhere, okay? So don't tell me I haven't tried, okay? I'm trying. Anyways, though, friends. Anyways. Now, my episode for this week, an inspo, if you will. I was just vibing one night, you know, as one does in the late hours of the night. And I stumbled upon Miss Emma Chamberlain. If you don't know Emma Chamberlain, she's a social media YouTuber, all that mogul kind of baddie. She has her own coffee company, which is really dope, actually. If I were to be any person in the public eye, having a coffee like brand is definitely like my thing. That would totally be something I would do. And a lot of people hate Miss Emma Chamberlain for so many different reasons. Honestly, I don't even know why. I just think that she's just straight up vibing these days. I think that her new, like, style of videos are really cool. I kind of, like, saw her grow, I think, a little bit. I was kind of on and off with Miss Emma Chamberlain, but regardless, she used to be a really big YouTuber. Her editing style, like, took off. A lot of people still use it today. Yeah. And I just think that people hated her for, like, a lot of reasons. I don't really know why. To this day, I don't really know why. But hence, I like her new vibe now. She's more adult-ish. She's really grown. I just think that her vlogging style right now is, like, really dope. She's, like, literally always in France and or New York when she lives in LA, which is kind of funny. But I was actually listening to her podcast, Everything Goes, or yes, something with Goes. I feel like a fake fan, even though I'm not crazy, but I don't dislike her. She's great. I'm not, like, super up to date with her. I just think that she's totally, like, a vibe, honestly. Definitely, like, the vibe I'm trying to get on right now. But Miss Emma Chamberlain, she has a podcast called Anything Goes, where she just talks about life, you know, her experiences with things. And I actually kind of prefer podcasts like that, me personally, where there's, like, a topic that I can relate to, and I hope that this episode is for some people. And this one episode I listened to, she was talking about her relationships with, like, the women in her life, friendships and stuff like that, and I really feel like I never really knew that relationships and friendships with, like, women, especially as a woman, is very, very interesting. How I never really thought twice about it. And not only just the relationship she's had with, like, you know, women friends, but also that the inner workings of that, like the underlying insecurities that we have. And, you know, this episode is basically just insecurities in every relationship that you encounter in life, not even just dating, not even just friendships, just even with yourself even. And I really took that to heart. I was like, wow, there's so many things that I can relate to in this, and I really wish I didn't, because the stem of that episode, which I will be linking, is, you know, being a woman or growing up as a woman, and you feel the urgency to compete with other women, especially just always, especially other women. And I've been feeling like that for quite some time in my 20s right now. I feel like I'm 23 and I don't have a lot to show for it, which kind of makes me feel like really, you know. I wish I didn't have to resonate as much as I did in that one episode that she made with, like, the women relationship she's had in her life. And look, I'm not here to say I'm, like, a saint. I'm definitely not a saint when it comes to the relationships I've had with people. I have fucked up. I have done my fair share of jealousy. I've done my fair share on being insecure. I've done my fair share of, you know, not being the bad guy, but being the bad guy in silence on my own, in my own private realms, if that makes sense. So this episode is about insecurities and facing them and the relationships and friendships that we have with people as a whole, not just the people you date, not just the people you know, love, because I feel like a lot of people focus on the insecurities and dating relationships rather than just as a whole. So honestly, I feel like a good place to really start today is, where does it all stem from? Where is it all rooted? Where does it begin with the competition, the excessive, you know, obsession with oneself and comparing ourselves to other people, which feels kind of inevitable? And I feel like it definitely begins for women with our parents, with the friends that we have and make, and the mothers and aunts, you know, your tias. If you know, you know. I feel like we've all had that fair share, especially if you're an immigrant kid, kid of immigrants. You definitely feel like you see more of the older fashion sense in relationships with people and or dating, especially just how they expect you to date when dating has changed in 1,000 different years and it continues to do so, I feel like. And just, you know, when you go through puberty, what you get and what you don't, if that makes sense. And look, I'm not saying this is just for women. I'm saying, like, this is for everyone, all right? Puberty affects us all in so many ways. The second you hit puberty, it's like life goes downhill after that. I feel like it all stems from different places, and I feel like they all play a part. Everything I just listed was, like, part of what made me, you know, the insecure woman I am today. And we're going to talk about insecurities in regards to, you know, physical aspects. There's so much underlying that. There's just so much underneath that. I feel like it would take me a whole week to get just through even one subtopic of insecurities within the physical realm. And I feel like a lot of people compare themselves and are insecure about their physical appearances. I can attest to this myself. I'm definitely not someone I can, you know, I'm not ugly, but I'm not, you know, Kylie Jenner. So I feel like it's really hard to pinpoint all of that. I feel like where it begins for most women is definitely puberty and the friends that we make, you know, where you go to school and stuff like that. Me personally, I went to school, you know, when I was hitting puberty, I went to school in, well, actually, let's just go way back in time. where I got my period for the first time ever in my entire life, where I hit puberty. I was around 11, I think, and I just one day started bleeding, and I was like, huh? Oh, well, okay then. I didn't really think twice about it. Like, I really didn't. I probably passed the anniversary of my first period of my entire life ever a million times, and I don't even know. I don't know. But regardless, I was in Florida. I got it, and I came back from Bed Bath & Beyond with my mom. And then I think I was bleeding, like, the day before or the morning of, and I was like, huh, okay, interesting. I thought this would go away. Guess not. And so I go to the bathroom. Like, I went to, like, a secret bathroom, like the one that no one uses in my old house in Florida. And then I just went to go check. I was like, is it, am I still bleeding? What's going on? And then I, like, pulled out my pants, and I'm like, ew, so I am still bleeding. And I was just like, maybe I should tell my mom. Maybe I should tell her that. Like, I was 11, bro. I thought I was dying. But, like, at the same time, though, I was, like, not really freaking out. I was like, oh, okay. Like, all right, then. Cool. And so... tell my mom, she gives me the whole deal. Which also, by the way, if you're by chance any parent listening to this, for the love of God, please tell your kids what they're going to go through when they hit puberty. Like, as a woman, please. I had no idea I was going to start bleeding one day. No one told me that. Not even a health teacher, not my mom, not my sister, no one. No one told me that. I would love if someone told me, I was, hey, you know what? I don't mean to scare you, but it's a part of life and here's how it works. You're going to bleed one day. And it's going to happen every once a month for the rest of your life until you're probably 45. So there is that. And not even to mention the biological clock that women have. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Ooh. Wow. That's something. And definitely puberty makes a lot. Now, was I blessed with big old titties? I was. It's my whole brand. If you don't even know me at all, you know that my entire brand, I feel like even the planet of Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, that isn't even a planet anymore, knows that my entire brand is just like how big my tits are, okay? And according to the public, I can attest to people confirming that it is true. So it is my brand. It is my brand. It's literally my whole spiel. No one can take that away from me. Now, was I given a fat ass? No. But did I go to the gym enough for me to get something? Yes. So, then it comes into, you go to school, all right? You're hitting puberty, and every other girl around you is also hitting puberty, okay? You're not the only one. You're all going through it, and y'all are having question marks upon question marks. You're like, huh, how does that make sense? And then you, like, have the conversation with your mom or the, you know, parent figure in your life, and they're talking about, like, oh, right. You need to bring, like, you know, pads and, like, panty liners to school now. Like, that was a thing. Like, I didn't really realize that would be my whole entire life, that I have to carry with me literally everywhere I go for the rest of my life. Like, this is, like, an everyday thing for the rest of my life. And so, I'm, like, dead right now, yo. Anyways, but when I was hitting puberty, I can actually remember a specific friend that I did have. And we're gonna call her Sarah, even though that was not her name. Close enough, though, I'm not gonna lie. When I was in Florida, I will say I was surrounded by predominantly white people. I did go to a private school. I did not go to private, like, Catholic school until high school. But I was predominantly surrounded by white people and white kids my age at that time. And I didn't really know where I fit in, truly. I never really thought about that either, if I'm being honest. But a lot of moments that present day as a, you know, 22, 23-year-old woman, you know, now, looking back on those days, I definitely can see how I could have been viewed as the token friend. And if you don't know tokenism, bitch, I have done a whole episode on it, literally titled Not Your Token. And I probably have already mentioned this stupid story, but I truly find it to be truly funny, a time where I was hanging out with my white friends there. And keep in mind, I did used to live in Florida. I know Florida very well. I know Miami quite well, like the back of my hand. I can tell you all the great places to go and all that jazz. But I did go to the beach every single weekend, like most Miamians and Floridians tend to do on the end of the week. You know, it's Friday, I'm going to the beach. I don't care what you say. And I'm going to be staying at the beach for a full weekend, from Friday to Sunday, and I will be back in. So the way it works is that I technically wasn't really, I would be in Miami every weekend essentially because I have family there, and I feel like everyone's family is in Miami. I feel like it's just so true. And by Miami, I mean Kendall. By Miami, I mean Kendall. That's the real Miami, okay? So, I used to live around 45 minutes to an hour away from Miami, like the city of Miami, not Kendall especially, just Miami. And I would go every weekend with my family to Miami, or they would come up to see me and we would go to like the beaches and all that jazz for the weekend, or at least a full day. Like, I'm talking like the crack of dawn until the very pitch black night. We partied, okay? Y'all, we party here in this family. And this is my mom's side of the family. Shout out, Mom. But I remember I would always be at the beach every weekend. So your girl was tan, okay? And funny enough, I can tan, okay? If you've seen me in real life, at least not recently, like months ago, very long time ago, I am always inside. I am truly never outdoors unless I go to work, which is predominantly me being in the sun for like half a second, and then I go indoors. So I don't really have a lot of sun exposure, so I'm quite pale. And I went to the beach recently and I tanned for the first time ever. I was like, wow, it's been so long. Boom, gets a tan, right? And I realized, you may be thinking, girl, how on fucking earth does this have to do anything with insecurities? Bitch, we're gonna get there. All right, just stay with me. I had to tell the whole story whether you like it or not. And so, I, being the brown woman that I am, essentially, that I don't even know that I am, I'll be honest. I've been back and forth with, like, you know, how I feel about that realm, because I don't really know, because I feel like a lot of people have given me the 50-50. 50% have seen me as just some random white woman, another 50% have seen me as a brown woman. I don't know, or racially, I like to call it racially ambiguous. It's literally the color of the rainbow, I guess. You can play 20 questions with me when you see me in public. Now, I tan very easily now. I feel like that's just, I have to like burn a little bit. Like the first day it hurts, like the burn, and then I like keep the tan, it like just starts shedding. Now, it's funny because back in the olden days, in my Florida days, where I went to school predominantly white, I can kind of feel how it was low-key the token without even knowing, and to this day I'm still questioning if it was, only because everyone around me was, you know, every guy wanted my friends. Never me, though, right? And my friend Sarah, to bring back her, that girl had at least 7 guys after her without even her having to try. She was only a grade above me. My mom hated her. Yeah, if your mom doesn't like them, you should run. And regardless, though, she, whatchamacallit, I was jealous of her, basically, because she had literally every guy she wanted, and or guys she didn't even want yet wanted her. And the reason I say, oh, like, I was kind of the token friend is because all of my friends were envious of how tan I was. Who, girl? If you think I'm tan now, wait until you see little Miss Girl right here, right now, in Miami, every weekend, at the beach, barely any sunscreen on. And I was so, so tan. I'm talking like golden, gorgeous brown, right? Sitting nicely on me, being gorgeous as I tend to be, obviously. And I didn't really have to try for that. I straight up just was in the sun for hours and hours and hours, just doing things, hanging out with my cousins there, doing life. And I say all this because in my family realm, I was admired and, you know, not admired, I would say, just more accepted, I would say, more normal to, you know, be more, you know, tan and more, you know, seen that way. Rather, when I went to hang out with my white friends, they were like shocked. They were like, you're so tan. Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I'm like, girl, it's literally just melanin. I don't, you don't have that? For real? I thought we all did. I thought that was like the thing. I thought that we all had that. And then you get older and you realize, oh, right, some people burn and some people don't. I know a lot of dermatologists will say, no, everyone burns. I'm like, okay, and why do I stay tan and some people don't? You answer me that, Mr. and Mrs. Dermatologist of the world. Now, am I going to tell you that it made me feel a certain way? Yeah. It made me feel a certain way because all my friends that were white had guys that wanted them and no one really wanted me at that time. I mean, obviously it's so minuscule now, but like in that time when you're about, you know, how old was I? Excuse me. I almost had to burp into the mic. How old was I? I would say maybe, I want to say I was definitely in late elementary school. For sure. Like during that time, for sure. I'm going to take my melatonin now. Not melanin, but melatonin. Y'all thought I forgot? No, ma'am. Woo. And we did it. And now we wait. It's just chilling in my stomach now. Now, so many things to cover. So many things. But that's my little spiel, my little story time, if you will, on where it stems from. Quite early, if I'm being honest. I was definitely in elementary school during that time, very early in life. And then you get older. And this is kind of the topic of, you know, going back from my previous episode, body hair, right? I'm not gonna lie. I am very blessed to say that I have body hair that grows in the right places and the parts that I hate as well. I have, you know, really thin black hair on my arm, some blonde, you know, I feel like every person that's brown has like that one hint of like blonde, or just anyone in general, like guys that are like super, super brown. They like have like the nice, like, you know, little scruff going on. And then all of a sudden you see like one blonde hair. Like, it's so random. And then, like, other guys, they have, like, the full super long beard and there's, like one red hair. It's so random. It's just so random how that happens to all of us. But my hair is definitely really, really dark black. But you can't really see it too well. I feel like it's really thin. It's always been really thin. My hair is, like, black but very thin. So, like, no one can really see it. But, yeah, I feel like I got, like, the nice arms that are, you know, not the Latina arms. Not the hairy arms. I was one of the chosen people, but also at the same time, if you have them, you're still beautiful regardless. Who cares? You learn to love it and live and move on with life because life does go on beyond body hair. It goes on. Life goes on. And I used to have, well, I sugar wax myself, so my hair is super thin now, but when I used to shave, it was like really thick and like really, really noticeable, like really, really thick, bold and like prickly. No, we don't do that anymore. And so you develop a sense of insecurity because you see other women that are a little bit lighter than you, and then you see that they barely have any hair at all over them, and it's like that's like the most desirable thing for men during that time in your life, you know. And I remember I went to school, so this is back when I was in eighth grade and I just moved back from Miami to California, and I went to like my last middle school year. I went in eighth grade to my old school that I went to when I was in pre-K kindergarten, and they had up to eighth grade. So I went in for eighth grade. And I remember this one girl in my class, in my eighth grade class, she called me out one day. We were at like basketball practice and she was like, girl, why are your legs so hairy? You don't shave. And I'm like, huh? I literally was like, I don't even know what shaving was at the time, bro. I don't even know you had to do that early on. No one told me I had to do that. No one did. My mom didn't tell me. My mom never told me that. Like, literally, body hair is, like, accepted in life. Like, it's just a thing that people do. Or at least for my family. Like, no one told me I had to start shaving and, like, waxing and all that stupid shit. And that was when my whole journey of body hair began. The whole journey of obsessing and shaving and shaving and shaving until there was literally skin screaming off of my body. I did Nair. And did I get second degree burns? Oh, yes, I did. If I could sue Nair, oh, the way I would sue for every penny they have and more. Nair, listen, count your fucking days, Nair. Count your fucking days, Nair. I swear to God. And I have this conversation with my lovely friend Eric Bateman, which I did have an episode with on debunking pro-life layers on my podcast. And I did an episode with avatar related things on his podcast, For Your Thoughts, on Spotify. And my lovely friend Eric and I continuously have this conversation of body hair. We literally have this conversation like every time we FaceTime and catch up. We talk about like, girl, when are we gonna stop like waxing ourselves? I'm like, girl, I don't know, but it does give me a nice cooter soft feeling, so I might never stop. And I do like being soft, but I feel like, when am I gonna stop realizing that it's okay to be a little hairy? When am I gonna accept it? When am I gonna realize it's okay? It's okay. Life goes on, you guys. Life goes on. And this is how insecurities fucking begin. I swear. This is how insecurities stem and begin from your literal childhood years. And I bet everyone listening right now has that one story they remember where they actively were participating and just, you know, being a person, being in, you know, being the youngster that you were. And then all of a sudden somebody has to shoot down your parade with like grown-up shit, maturing, puberty shit, like body hair. Then you're insecure about it because you see other people that are always hairless and you're like, oh my God, why am I not that bitch? You know what I mean? Like, seriously. That's how it begins, bro. That's how they get you. That's how it starts. And then it just spirals even more down the line. And then we, you know, go through some trauma issues. And then we work through the shit we go through. And then it develops into this big, giant adult life. Hence me. But yes, it builds upon insecurities on insecurities on insecurities. Now, we are surrounded and continuously surrounded by the world. And the world is giving us, you know, sources and resources of all kinds that can shift your opinion on life, politics, you know, economics and shit like that. And the world is ever changing, and so are we. The world as a whole, and you as a lovely, lovely makeup of cells and atoms and stardust, are really out here worried about insecurities. That's how minuscule we are, okay? The world and people ever changing. You as an individual listening to this are stardust, okay? My 10th grade chemistry teacher did not call me stardust for a full semester for me not to say it now, okay? You are stardust. You were at one point. We all were. And we're out here worrying about insecurities in every aspect. Really let that sink in. Like, we're really out here worrying about insecurities, man. Like, it's really so minuscule. Like, well, there's a fucking global emergency from monkeypox out there. Like, there are so many little things that don't matter anymore. Like, there are just so many things that we need to free ourselves from. Insecurities, you know, the unspoken rules that women have to feel like they need to follow. For example, women, I know anyone, any woman that can relate to this, is the pleasing aspect. Ooh, the pleasing. Not just pleasing men, like pleasing everyone around you. That's like a common women thing that I know all women go through. And if you're saying that you don't fucking go through that, you're a liar, okay? Mentirosa. Like, I know you're lying, okay? And I remember telling my sister this a really long time ago about emails, because I cannot tell you how much I literally want to kill myself every time I get an email. Like, my soul leaves my body. My soul leaves my body. And I just can't do it. Anytime I see an email, I'm like, oh, I'll reply. I never do. I never do. I wait until like a week has passed. And I'm like, oh, right, I have to email that person back. Like, and it's just pending in my head every day. And I'm freaking out because I'm scared to reply to the email. But I'm also freaking out because I didn't reply to the email in time. That's literally like insanity. That's how insanity begins and spirals. And what do we call that? What do we call that? Huh? People pleasing. That's how it is. And you're probably thinking, girl, how does that anything to do with insecurities? I got you there, okay? I got you there. People pleasing leads to insecurities because sometimes people don't accept you as you are. And some people just feel like you go above and beyond and they still don't see you as a valid person. Now, moving on to something similar. Insecurities and friendships. Ooh, I feel like, now listen, this is going to be a judgment-free zone, all right? I'm going to be very vulnerable right now. Insecurities and friendships are so interesting to me. So interesting. Because I will admit right here, right now, and I will not go into detail because one can figure that out on themselves, on their own. But trust me, Insecurities in friendships exist. And this is the episode that I'm mentioning with Emma Chamberlain about her, the relationship she's had with women friends in her life. She explains that one, they see you as a competition. Two, they see you as someone worth copying. Three, they see you as someone they are trying to get better at and comparing themselves to. So many more scenarios. You can just listen to the episode and hear more about what she goes into details about. But, oh, the way I related to every single one of those things. Whew! And this is not even, like, insecurities in just physical aspect. Like, this is insecurities about, like, careers and dating life, etc. Now, I've mentioned how when I was younger, no guy wanted me. When I was in middle school, essentially. And I cannot tell you how much that put a damper on my life. Until I got my wish. Until I got older. Until I hit high school. Then you're only wanted for sex. Never romance. Has that still happened to me? Yes, unfortunately. I had the misfortune of still dealing with men like that in college. One day it gets better. One day. And insecurities in friendship, let's start with careers. I've had that moment where I've told my sister, and I've also told my therapist, that I've had friends that have a pretty better life than I do. And I know you're probably thinking, girl, no one's life is better. Actually, no. When you are a struggling 23-year-old that's really stressed about her life and her career and trying to figure out what the fuck she's meant to do in this life and her purpose, but seeing others accomplish their goals and dreams and getting what they want and having a nice relationship with someone, being in a loving, committed relationship and, you know, figuring out their life and doing their best and working hard, and you feel like you're not working hard enough. Yeah, it does put a damper on your plan in life. It does. It hurts. Do you know how many jobs I've applied to in the last, like, I don't know, like, 3 days in internships and been turned down for, like, half of them? Yeah, it puts a big fucking damper on my mood, bitch. But then seeing other people you don't even know that don't even do much, or, like, it's even worse when it's, like, you've developed insecurities and you, like, really value yourself and you put too much emphasis and value on, you know, who you want to be. And then seeing someone that accomplished it in, like, half the time you did, and you're like, oh my god, like, I am literally not worthy. Do you know how hard that is? Do you know how painful that feels? And that's just not an insecurity for women. That's an insecurity for everyone. The universal experience. Do you know how hard that is on someone? To see someone that literally didn't even try it half as hard as you did to get the job that they wanted, or, you know, a clarity of what they fucking wanted in this life, to see that they got it and you didn't? Do you know how much that hurts? Do you know how much that pains me? Bro, it sucks. But hey, there is a difference though. There is a difference between being rude about it in person to the person that did get the job versus celebrating them, but in private, you know, dealing with it on your own. There's a difference, okay? I'm not saying that either one are great. They're both pretty bad. They're both pretty bad feelings to have. Jealousy, if you will. I'm not afraid to admit that I'm a jealous bitch. I'm not. I'm not afraid to admit that. And you want to know why? Because it's normal. Okay? It may not be great. It may not be a celebrated emotion. It may be one of the worst things you can feel in life. But it depends on how you act upon jealousy. Because if you're over here ruining your friend's, like, engagement party, because she got married before you, then, I mean, like, you're kind of a bitch. Like, I really wouldn't feel sorry for you. But if you show up to their engagement party and you are happy for them, you put on your best damn face you can, celebrate them, get them a present, and really just be there, trying your hardest, and then go home and be a hater, then you know what? I'm not gonna hate you for that, because you still didn't put a damper on their emotions. You gotta let people enjoy the things that they are given and then be a hater in private. That's just my motto. I know a lot of people won't agree with that, but that's just me. And I have been there. It really hurts, okay? It's not easy. Let's not pretend that jealousy isn't something that it's bad. It's a really bad thing. But how you act on it is way worse. I'm going to take the example of this one TV show that I really love, Girlfriends. If you don't know the show Girlfriends, bitch, I don't know where you've been, but it's on Netflix and it's probably going to go off Netflix at some point in this life, and I will probably pass away the day it does. However, though, it is one of my comfort shows. It's about four women in LA just going through life, just dating, going through their 20s, their 30s, and all that. And one of the characters, her name is Joan Clayton, and she's played by Tracee Ellis Ross. And then her best friend of many years, Tony Childs, played by Jill Marie Jones. They go through life back and forth. They go through a lot of things together. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, all in between. And one episode I'm actually currently watching or rewatching for like the 10th time. I think it's like season 3. Her friend Tony gets married. And Joan Clayton's whole character is basically pretty much her end goal is marriage. Her biological clock, if you will, the definition of the biological clock. And she sees that her best friend's getting married before her. And she's trying to be happy for her. And she just can't be. And she's being super, you know, like, you know, dramatic about it. And then eventually it leads to her blowing out of proportion at her own friend's, like, you know, bachelorette party. And she's trying to be, like, supportive. But she can't be. She's not present. She's not, you know, doing her part anymore. And then it comes down to her friend, Miss Tony, being like, girl, you have been jealous of my engagement and wedding for the whole time I've been engaged and married for. I can't. Like, you can't even celebrate me enough to put your own feelings aside of the desperation that you have for marriage and having an end goal to celebrate me, your best friend. And that's where it really hit me, girl. That's where, like, where friendships and insecurities blow out of proportion. Where you let it control you, where you let it steer you too far and too deep in. You know? And that's, like, really how some women friendships are. It's like when one woman has something, you feel like you need to step it up 100 times. And it's just like one-upping each other to the point where it's like, at what point are we just going to realize that there's no point to this, you know? At what point are we going to realize that this is how it's not supposed to work, you know? And insecurities and friendships with dating is a whole different thing. It's like seeing all my friends, and I've always been the single friend, by the way. Like, I've literally always been the single friend. I've never once had one relationship that I can actually really be like, oh, that actually was something. All of my friends basically have all had or are currently in a very serious relationship. Do you know how much that pains me a little bit? I'm not gonna lie. I love being the single friend because I have a lot of fucking freedom. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that it's not fun in some capacity. But damn, bitch, you don't think I want someone to hold at night? Someone to cry to when I'm really, really, really hurt in life? Yeah, everyone wants that, okay? Stop pretending that you love being the single friend, okay? I, as the single friend, usually, yeah, it kind of hurts seeing people that actually have loving partners that love them wholeheartedly and genuinely want them for who they are. And I don't have that. Not once. Never have I once experienced that ever in my fucking life. Yeah, it does hurt, bitch. It fucking hurts. It sucks. But am I gonna go ruin their fucking parade? No. I am never, and will I ever do that? And the big question to ask here is, why? Why do I feel so insecure? And I was telling my therapist this actually not too long ago. I was talking about how, like, one of my friends, she's more put together than I am, even if she doesn't feel like she is, right? And I keep telling her, I'm like, look, I'm not saying that, like, she has the life I desire. She doesn't. Like, I don't desire to have, you know, 10 million degrees and 10 million degrees from different colleges and stuff like that. But what I am saying, though, is I wish I was a little more put together like she is. That's all, you know? I would love to have a loving guy that loves me and, like, cares about me and wants to see me happy and will do anything to make me happy and have something, you know, more steady and, you know, career. I don't have any of those things. And it makes me really upset. It makes me feel really frustrated because I'm trying, man. I'm trying. And it's hard because all you can do sometimes is try. That's all there really is to it, and it sucks. That's, like, the worst advice I got from my therapist. She was like, well, at least you're trying. I'm like, yeah, but what's the end goal? I want something. I want at least a job I can say I'm proud of. Like, I want, like, a career I can start that I'm actually not embarrassed to admit about. Like, yo, insecurities really ruin your life, man. It sucks. Okay, it really sucks. It really, really puts a damper on your life. And that's just insecurities and friendships. When until y'all get into insecurities with dating? Hoo-wee! Insecurities and dating and romance, y'all. It feels like it's endless. I feel like it's so endless because there's so many things to feel insecure about when you really feel like you really shouldn't feel like you are, because insecurities are in oneself, right? Our one own problems, our one own personal emotions and how we feel. And dating is so invasive because I feel like with friendships, there are some things you can, like, you know, not say to your friends, and it's, like, fine. You know, I don't tell my friends about my love life. I don't tell my friends about, or at least in detail, I would say. I don't tell my friends about my career. I don't tell my friends about anything until I know it's set in stone and I can actually say it's true before it's, like, ripped from underneath me. That's how I like to approach, you know, things. And doing that in a relationship is so much harder. So much harder because you can't be really secretive in relationships. You can't be. In dating, you can never be secretive because they're going to find out. Whether you cheated on them or not, they're going to find out. That's just how the world of the, like, life works. And insecurities in dating and romance, it's like, I mean, I actually have yet to experience, like, a guy that actually cares about me wholeheartedly at all. It's very rare. And I'm not attracting that. I'm just saying I have yet to meet. Am I open to it? Obviously. But have I yet to do it? Maybe. We'll see. Life is young and so am I. And so, it's hard to date and deal with your insecurities and, you know, dating and romance and stuff like that when you're trying, you know? And all we can do is try in this life, really. That's really the only answer I have in this whole episode. I think the common theme is insecurities and the solution to them is to try your fucking hardest. And insecurities is just, like, not being good enough. And I feel like social media has done a very terrible job in making you question, you know, question your relationship goals. I feel like all of the world's relationship goals revolve around social media couples. And I feel like y'all are saying goals, oh my god, couple goals or whatever, to, like, the most random people. Bro, come up with your own relationship goals that you want. Maybe the relationship goals that you saw for, you know, Travis and Kylie aren't the goals for you. Like, I don't, there's nothing wrong with that either, you know? But, you know, we see these people online and we see strangers we don't even know. We see people that have the dream life and, or what you think is the dream life. And that when you don't have one or the other or all of it, it's like, you develop this sense of urgency and, you know, insecurity about oneself, and you feel like you're not worthy of the nicest things in life, like love, happiness, romance, careers, you know, just being proud of who you are and the best that you can do. And the best that you can do sometimes is show up for yourself even when you don't want to. And it's hard. It's hard to feel like insecurities and dating and everything don't, you know, go together, but they do, and it happens. And whether you want to believe it or not, the insecurities that you have are very different or very similar to the person that you're with, and or they may be insecure about something that you don't even understand why they're insecure about, and vice versa. They're probably like, girl, why do you, like, hate yourself so much? And you're probably like, I don't know. That's how I feel about most of the relationships I've been in. They, like, love, like, how I look. I'm like, really? You literally don't want Kylie Jenner? I'm confused. Like, for real. Like, I was literally ingrained into my head that you want, like, women like Kylie Jenner. I don't know, man. And then you grow up and you actually date real people. And they're like, oh, right, yeah. Like, you want a person that actually is going to like who you are. Because I have dated men that don't really do that. They prefer, like, the hairless women. And I have dated my fair share of men that, like, are actual men. They're like, oh yeah, I don't really care if you're fucking hairy, bro. Like, I don't really care. That shit doesn't matter to me, like, at all. And, like, growing up and being never wanted for romance and always sex, I was like, oh my god, this is weird. People actually want me? That's scary. Like, that's a scary thought for me, to me at least. Like, to be wanted for who I am is scary. Like, to me, that's, like, the biggest, like, nightmare. Not in a bad way, though. I'd be like, holy shit, this is like some R.L. Stine shit. Oh my god. How is this real? Like, are you joking? Nah, you're kidding, man. If you want to fuck, just say that. Like, that's just me. That's like my response to things. I'm like, if you want to fuck, just tell me that. Like, honestly, stop trying to pretend you care about me. Just tell me that you want to fucking call it a day. But regardless, though, not all men are the same, obviously. I'm trying not to attract that energy to me, because the more I say men ain't shit, I'm going to be attracting men that are terrible people. So just a lesson for everyone. Okay, stop saying that people are bad. Stop saying that bitches are terrible. Stop saying that men are trash, because bitch, then that's all you're going to attract. That's all you're going to attract to yourself. So don't be doing that. Trust. You will see exponential growth, like, in who you attract versus who you attracted when you were saying people are terrible, women are terrible, men are terrible, blah, 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 all that. And so dating and insecurities, I feel like we can work through them, you know, but I feel like it's a mutual, like, you know, work. I feel like if you are insecure about something, you work through it. You try, at least. You at least do your part to do that. You go to therapy, or you realize and you call your own out behavior. You're calling out. You're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Or I will be better at this. I'm sorry. Or I know how that made you feel, and I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. All that. It's really not that hard to apologize, and it's really not that hard to be upfront, and it's really not that hard to be confrontational. All that is very easy and can be done. It's very possible. Like, it's all possible if you do it with the right person and you realize that you're not perfect as much as you wish you were. And to be ignorant of one's perfection is wrong and kind of unrealistic. It's not right. And we go on to the topic of, you know, insecurities in dating in the physical realm, like not being, you know, gorgeous enough, or him following Instagram models, OnlyFans women, and stuff like that. And I feel like insecurities are so easy developed through social media and so easy developed, you know, in life. And I'm not going to lie to you, from my very first episode ever I've done for this podcast, which was on body dysmorphia, I can wholeheartedly say that I have grown to love the body that I have. And it's taken me, and I'm still working on it, you know. But I would rather be a little bit like Miss Doja Cat, to quote Miss Doja Cat, my president, thick in the thigh, thick in the waist, thick in all the motherfucking right places. I would rather be that far, so easy, than ever be anything else. It's true. And my sister is a lot skinnier than I am. And growing up, she has always been obsessed with staying skinny, staying fit and stuff like that. And every day she's like, oh my god, like, I'm so fat or whatever. I'm like, girl, you were literally a size 6. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm literally a size 12, so I don't know what you're crying about. I don't know what you're stressed about. But hey, you know what? I don't have her eyes. I don't have her perception. That's not me, you know? And growing up, I was instilled by my own parents, or no, by my sister, by my mom, that they both wanted to be so skinny. Like, literally, like, by pounds and stuff like that. And now I couldn't care fucking less. I don't care how much I weigh, man. It doesn't fucking matter. Just date someone that actually is into that. It's not that hard, bro. There are men out there that prefer women that are much bigger than they are. It's okay. There's a person for everyone out there. And we're talking just physical looks. I'm not talking about like actual you know, insecurities and other things just yet. Maybe you have trauma. And I was just literally telling my therapist this, like, maybe, like, 3 sessions ago. I was like, honestly, I don't know if I could ever date someone because of my trauma. She's like, well, if that were the case for everyone, then no one would be in relationships. I'm like, I know, but, like, I don't know if they could ever handle that. No guy ever wants to. It's like, and she's like, well, girl, like, if that were really true, then, like, one, you wouldn't have had any men want to date you to begin with. And two, no one would ever date anyone. If trauma was that big of a, you know, issue for people, then no one would be dating anyone. And I was like, you might be onto something there, Miss Ma'am. Like, she was like telling me all this, and I was like, honestly, she's kind of right. But also, like, at the same time, I just can't picture anyone caring about me. I just can't picture it. It's so crazy to me. I still have trouble picturing it to this day. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying it's really crazy for me to think about. And realizing, if we're going to go back to physical aspect for a minute, insecurities in dating and romance, realizing that I've always seen myself as someone that doesn't really know where I lie on the, like, you know, spectrum of, like, race, I think. Like I said, people perceive me as white, some people perceive me as brown. Like, I have literally no idea where I fall, to be honest. Like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to say I'm either or. I'm just trying to say I'm, like, in that middle, and I don't know which or what that is. And there's no wrong answer, you know? There's no right answer. Definitely all about perspective. But going back to, like, the insecurities in dating and romance and the other level that isn't physical, like trauma and experiences that one goes through, that deals with, and all of that play a role. And my therapist was right. Like, if trauma was such a big deal breaker for everyone, then no one would ever date anyone. Truly, that, like, literally no one would be in a relationship to this day. No one would ever be in, like, a relationship. No one would ever be, you know, in happy, healthy relationships. Like, no one would be. And that is the point of working through them and working through your own trauma and trying your best, you know? No one is perfect. No one is fully secure in themselves. And some people are. And it takes a long time to get there. And even sometimes we never feel like we're going to make it to that. But there is an end goal, and only you can define the end goal. And so I kind of just want to wrap this up by reflecting on therapy, you know? I remember I was telling my therapist, like, last session, I think today, or no. Well, not today, this week, that, you know, I don't know why I kept, like, I was frustrated because I was like, why do I keep attracting, like, emotionally unavailable people into my life for dating, I mean? Like, I don't know why that keeps happening to me. Like, I don't know why I keep apparently drawing that into myself when I never ask for it. That's, like, the last thing I want. But I always have friendships, and I'm friends with people that actually care about me to an extent. And then she's like, well, it's because of the relationship that you've had with your parents that they're emotionally unavailable among themselves, let alone with you. And you're so familiar to it that you're just drawn to it because you just know it so well. It's so familiar. It's so similar. It's just something that you know all too well. And I was like, oh, wow. I was not ready for that, you guys. And I end today's episode with just be nice to yourself, even if you don't want to be. And I need to take that advice myself because literally everyone tells me I need to be not so hard on myself. And I just can't do it. I have no idea what that looks like. I beat myself down all the time. And it's so hard. It's hard not to. Like, for me, that's, like, a big struggle for me. Like, I always beat myself up for every little thing that I do. And if I don't get something right the first time, I will literally beat myself up for it for the rest of the day, the rest of the one, like, the week, the month, the year, whatever. And it never leaves my mind. We all can learn from each other. We all are trying our best. With that being said, I conclude today's episode. I hope that we've all had a moment to reflect on our life, reflect on the things that make us who we are, and learn from one another. And I hope that you all realize that you're all beautiful people, inside and out, whether you feel like you are or not. And if you're in therapy or not, realizing that you're going to be fine. There's someone out there for you. There are friends out there for you. There are possible partners out there for you that will love and accept you as you are. To quote the lovely, come as you are, truly. That's all that's there. That's, like, all there is to it, really. And so I conclude, please be safe out there, friends. Stay healthy and aware. And just do whatever you need to do to stay safe out there in this world. And with that, I adjourn and call order in the court for me. And I will see you aliens next Sunday. Bye.